Good morning, church. It's good to be here. Good to be worshiping with you on the first day of the week. And it should be a great Lord's Day. Sun's out. Nice shining sun there. And again, as we can see, the Lord's way of showing us of his control of things. We see the seasons changing. It's so beautiful, you know, to see throughout this season, to see the changes of leaves and the colors and beautiful nature, how God shows his creation and how we ought to glorify him as well. One real quick thing, as we already had been mentioned, the youth traveling youth will be here, and we'll be conducting a song service. And if you're able and wanting to be here, willing to be here, they're going to be conducting the song service, and it'll be something nice as well, because this is the way that the youth get to fellowship with one another and to do things and, you know, keep up with what they're done lately, you know, at school and things like that. And you know, because they only get to be in the summer together, spending at church camp and stuff. So this is a way for them to kind of continue their relationship and let the relationship grow as young Christians as well. And then again, if you're here, you're invited to join us as well afterwards in the fellowship, in the fellowship hall as well. As we look at the apostles, we see that God or Jesus had 12 apostles, and as you've seen, they have many different personalities, many different ways of you know, traits and things that characteristics that they have that were unique. But the Lord knew how to choose them, and the Lord knew how to how he needed them and how they were going to be essential in their growing the kingdom of God, right? As we see, they're all many different. They all have many different traits. They all come from many different aspects of life. Here, I want us to focus on the Apostle Andrew. He is mentioned only 12 times, and he's mentioned in the listings of the first apostles that have been called. The first apostles that had been called through Jesus, and that he's been part of the, basically, the inner circle of Jesus, the first apostles to be called. If you would, let us turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 20. If you're not there, please let us consider this passage as we begin our study. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat, with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And we see here to us what is presented here. This is the calling, again, of the first disciples. As we know, Andrew, it's a, his trade was a fisherman, right? As we know, his trade was a fisherman. Andrew gives us an example to, of us of following Christ, right? As we read in the text, it says that they actually followed Christ. So it is implied to us that that they dropped what they were doing and following Christ in their calling as well. We see that the profession again as fishermen, as a fisherman. I know that you know, fishing sometimes for those who fish, I think is a kind of like a patient, kind of waiting and see if you ever get fishes. But in this case, they did this as a profession. His name in the Greek means manly, a manly man. So I'm assuming from what is said about him and what the scriptures in his profession, I'm assuming that, you know, through his work and through the things that he did, he was, you know, courageous and a manly man. I mean, his profession, I'm assuming, being a strong man, you know, in personality and things like that. That's what basically, excuse me, that's what basically his name is implied, and it says to be by it, right? A man of strength and bravery, right? And then we'll see that later on. Tradition says that he brought the gospel to Greece and Turkey, and again, he was crucified in a X shape as a martyr. That's what extracurricular books and things that record this, the story of him, that's what is written about him as well. As we know, there are some more prominent apostles, but here we see about Andrew only mentioned 12 times. Let me suggest to you three things that we can look at in the way that Andrew is presented to us, the Apostle Andrew is presented to us. Let me suggest three things to you. The first one I would like us to look, we see his conversion. Let us look at John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verses 35 to 42. John chapter 4, verses 35 to 32 tells us the following, and we read as follow. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, and said, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, he said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now, when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon the son of Jonah, and you shall be called Cephas," which is translated as stone. Again, we see here the calling of the first disciples. As we read, as you now are aware, through the Gospels, there's many mention of the disciples, and then some gives us more information, some gives us just little information here. John just gives us a little bit more into it. First of all, we see Andrew's conversion. We learn that he was a disciple of John the Baptist, from what we read. We learn that he was a disciple of him. John pointed Andrew to Jesus, right? By John, he was pointed to by John to Jesus. We see that he was again a disciple and a follower of Jesus. We see that he recognized the aspect of that he had found the Lamb of God, that he had found Christ, the Messiah. We see that he was the first disciple to follow Jesus and recognize that Jesus was the Lamb of God. So we see there his conversion. Again, his conversion to follow Christ and see what Christ was about, his interest in Christ, as we read in the beginning part of the verses there. You know, they were seeking to him. There was an interest that struck them. There was an interest to see who Jesus was. There was an interest of how what was Jesus teaching. So we see again his conversion there. We see his startup of this discipleship there, Andrew's conversion. We see that Andrew, recognized Jesus, the Messiah, Christ, as well. Secondly, we can look at Andrew's commitment. We can see his commitment. We see that the first thing that he does, and the first thing that according to what we read, he does, his concern for his family, his concern for his family. The first thing that he does in verses 41 and 42, he said he found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah. We have found the Messiah," which translated is the Christ. So that's the first thing he goes to. He goes and shares what he had found about Jesus. See, we see the mark of a great soul winner as well. We see that he shared the gospel. He shared the information that he had obtained and not just kept it to himself, but he shared it. He shared it beyond, to his family. And I know sometimes it's difficult to preach to your own family, because the first thing they do, and you know, and all of us know this, the first thing they do is point to our weakness. I mean, we all have to be sincere, right? We're talking about the Word of God. The first thing they look is about a weakness. But there's ways to explain, the things to them. But that doesn't give me, yes, it is a discouragement to me to preach to them. But at the same time, that doesn't give me an excuse to not teach the Word of God, to not preach the Word of God, right? So we need to do that. We need to understand that, and we see that through him. We see that commitment that he had. A great soul winner. He goes to his family. He goes to his brother, Simon Peter. In a way, we are commended to do that. According to Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20 tells us, "Therefore, we make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the ages. Amen." So we know that we are commended to go teach others. As a church, as members of the church, we are commended to go preach and share the word to others. The Apostle Paul reminds us as well that as when we are Christians, we are to be in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15, he tells us to be diligent to present yourself approved unto God, A worker who does not need to be ashamed. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. Rightly dividing the word of God. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Sorry. So we see the Apostle Paul commending or telling us that we need to present ourselves approved unto God, meaning that I'm always willing to open up the scriptures, to teach others, to go out and preach the gospel, to go out to do the work that God has commended me individually, that God has done for me, that God has told me to do individually. It's not just the job of Dale or myself or just the preachers. It's just the job of all of us. We are commended to do that. We are commended to continue in doing that, presenting ourselves approved unto God. That's how we present ourselves, approved unto God, studying the scriptures, making sure that we're not ashamed of it and rightly dividing it, meaning that I'm rightly going to apply the things that I'm learning and the things that I read in the scriptures that are going to be right, that are not going to be something, you know, crazy or something that out of the blue that I made up. No, it's what the scriptures is, what God's telling me in his divine word that I'm following, right? So we know, again, we see that his commitment. So that should be an example to us, that his commitment to teach and to bring others to Christ. The Apostle Paul reminded us about teaching and bringing others to Christ. And that's the essential. That's important as a Christian. That is important as a Christian. Again, we see Andrew in his commitment that he had. We see that he was concerned for his friends. Again, we see the concern for his friends. John chapter 6, verses 5 through 13, when it comes to feeding the 5,000, we see that he was there trying to find to do solutions. I guess he was just trying to be intense. You know, the definition of his name, manly. Bravery, trying to find out and see, trying to obtain and see what solutions it was going to be possible there. You can see that through verses 8 through 9, feeding of the 5,000, Andrew was looking for solutions as well. We see that, his commitment to advancing and to, you know, if there was a need, we can see that if there was the need, he wasn't just told to do it, but he gave himself or put himself in that commitment and went out and do it, you know. Sometimes we need to be that way as Christians. We don't need to be told what things to do. We don't need to be told every time to do certain things. But for my commitment to Christ and my commitment to the church and to the advancement of the church and to the things that I need to help and to move on for the growing of the church, we don't need to be told to do things. It's, you know, it's like when we're in a regular job. We know what our obligations are. We know what are things to do. My job, my job I do secularly. I know what my obligations is to transport safely kids to go take them to school, right? And I'm going to do it in a safely and appropriate manner that I need to do that. So in our jobs, we know that we have certain commitments that we need to do. Same way as Christians, we have a commitment to God. We have a commitment to do things. And then Andrew shows us that. Andrew shows me that commitment. Again, in another occasion, we see that Andrew shows concern about the foreigners. And John chapter 12, verses 20 through 22 tells us, now there was a certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip came and told Andrew. And in turn, Andrew and Philip told Jesus. See how it worked. It just, you know, helped other people. You know, we know that the gospel is for everybody. We know that the gospel is to be preached for everybody. Andrew shows us that by his commitment. We are to be hospitable to everybody, right? That's what the verse tells us in First Peter chapter 4, verse 9 tells us to be hospitable, to not grumble to each other, but to show that hospitality to others. Yes, sometimes it's difficult to do that, but we are commended to do that. We are commended in the scriptures to do that, to be hospitable to others, to help others. Andrew shows me that with his commitment, Andrew shows me that, you know, we got to go out in a limp. We got to do what we need to do for the growth of the church, for the growth of God's kingdom here. Thirdly, let us look at Andrew's character. We see in his character, he was a man that he was unselfish. Matthew 20, 28. As Jesus demonstrate to us, just as the Son of Man did not came to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He shows that as well. He was unselfish because he was going always looking for the good. Andrew, he was always looking, he was always looking for what to do, what can I do next as well. You know, by the example or by the teachings of Jesus, you know, he showed them that as well, that it's about, you know, the growing of the kingdom. It's not just about me. That's what he shows them there as well, being unselfish, helping others. John chapter 6, verse 38 tells us, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." He wanted to share Jesus, right? He knew specifically what was his role. We knew specifically what he needed to do, right? We see in his character that he was a faithful man. We see that he was faithful. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to those who diligently seek him." So we see that he had faith. And then through that faith, and through that understanding that I have, is going to take me to do an action, right? And Andrew shows me that, that he was manly man, courageous, ready to do things, and at the same time, he put it in effect in action. He was a man of action. Again, we see that. He was a man of action that he acted upon making a decision. Again, as church members, again, as members of the congregation, we need to do some action. We need to plan and, you know, have teamwork and come together and decisions that we need to do and things that we need to do as well. Andrew showed me that. Andrew shows me in his character that. And we know that as Andrew, you know, simple man, fisherman, right? We only get a couple mentions of him in the Bible, but he shows me that. So he shows me three major things that we can consider as well. He shows me his conversion, what he needed to do, and understanding and coming of Christian, his commitment to the growing of the kingdom of God, and he shows me his character, the way he was. Simple man, fisherman. I don't know how much education a fisherman might have, but we see the example of a simple man committed to the cause of Christ, committed to the souls, committed to teaching others, committed to helping the church grow, helping the kingdom of God grow. We see that as well. So the question is, what are you waiting and becoming an Andrew? The question is, what am I waiting? What am I going to do as a Christian? What I need to do as a Christian? Am I going to become an Andrew? That I'm not just, you know, keeping the information for myself, but I go out and try to win souls to Christ and try to do the work of the Lord as necessary and try to be called upon to step on the things or the things that I need to do and not to be always told, but always, you know, have a plan in action and doing those things. Because we got to understand one thing, brethren. God has equipped us with many things, many talents. And we do have a talented church here. We do have a lot of people that have great talents that it can be used for good, that is always we can use for good for the growing of the church. So let us consider that in the Apostle Andrew, the example that he gives me to progress the church and to grow the church. Let us look at it, not just as one of the apostles that follow Christ, but an apostle that made an impact in everybody's life that he surrounded himself with, and that make that great impact that we can understand and we can study about him. If you haven't become a Christian, it is important for you to become one. It is important for you to start that walk with God, start that walk with him. It is important for you to understand that we need to be righteous and inside, that we have sinned, and that we need to wash our sins away. We need to hear the gospel. We need to hear the word. That's what you're doing right now, hearing. We need to believe in the word, according to Matthew, Mark, chapter 16, verse 16. We need to repent of our sins. We need to repent of those. We need to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he became fleshed here, and then he taught, and then he walked in this earth. We need to confess that he is the Son of God. And then we need to be baptized for our sins to be erased, according to Matthew 10:32. We need to be baptized. And finally, we need to have that commitment to be living faithful, to live faithful to the end, according to Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, tells me to live faithful to the end, no matter what happens. No matter what happens in my life, I'm going to be committed to Christ. As we just mentioned, as the Apostle Paul, as the Apostle Andrew mentioned, mentioned a couple minutes ago, he knew the commitment. He knew what he needed to do. So that's what we needed. That's what we need to do as Christians, live faithfully. No matter what happened in my life, I know that God is with me. I know that God will be with me in times of my needs, even though sometimes it sounds difficult. It sounds unrealistic. Sometimes we lose hope in that faith. But guess what? God's still with us, and God demonstrates his love in many ways. But I need to let him show me that, and I need to submit to him my life, and he'll show me the way. So that's the way that we need to do that. Is there any way that we can help you? Let your need be known as we stand.